From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of the Let the Bible Speak radio ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text is found in Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3. I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. There are different translations of these words. One version renders it, I will show thee great and fortified things. Another, great and reserved things. Now there are reserved and special things in Christian experience. All the developments of spiritual life are not alike easy of attainment. There are the common frames and feelings of repentance and faith and joy and hope, which are enjoyed by the entire family. But there is an upper realm of rapture, of communion, and conscious union with Christ, which is far from being the common dwelling place of believers. We have not all the high privilege of John to lean upon Jesus' bosom, nor of Paul to be caught up to the third heaven. There are heights in experimental knowledge of the things of God which the eagle's eye of acumen and philosophic thought hath never seen. God alone can bear us there. But the chariot in which He takes us up, and the fiery steeds with which that chariot is dragged, are prevailing prayers. Prevailing prayer is victorious over the God of mercy. By His strength He had power with God, yea, He had power over the angel, and prevailed. He wept, and made supplication unto Him. He found Him in Bethel, and there He spake with us. Prevailing prayer takes the Christian to Carmel, and enables him to cover heaven with clouds of blessing, and earth with floods of mercy. Prevailing prayer bears the Christian aloft to Pisgah, and shows him the inheritance reserved. It elevates us to Tabor, and transfigures us, till in the likeness of His Lord, as He is, so are we also in this world. If you would reach to something higher than ordinary groveling experience, look to the rock that is higher than you, and gaze with the eye of faith through the window of importunate prayer. When you open the window on your side, it will not be bolted on the other.
Thank you.
these days when the forces of evil are devastating our land, God's people need to pray. More than that, we must engage in united prayer. Just as the apostles and the early church were of one accord gathering for prayer, the cry for our day must be, "Let us pray." To encourage the Lord's people to this end, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a publication entitled The Case for United Prayer. Presented within its pages are excerpts from the works of Jonathan Edwards, Samuel Prime, and Pastor Richard Cross. The centerpiece of the book is Samuel Prime's first-hand account of the famous New York City prayer meetings of 1857, begun by one man, Jeremiah Lamphere. This simple effort was blessed by God until prayer meetings sprang up all over the nation and ushered in a mighty revival that spread across the sea to Great Britain, culminating in the great 1859 revival in Northern Ireland. To obtain your copy of The Case for United Prayer free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Case for United Prayer. Today on Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message called An Inspired Portrait of the Gospel Ministry. The text is Romans chapter 15, verses 14 through 33. Here, the great apostle provides a rare biographical insight into his life and ministry. In the course of these verses, he demonstrates that his life was guided by the truth of the gospel he preached. His was a life completely sold out to God. There are many aspects of Paul's ministry that are applicable to every true preacher of the gospel. First of all, Paul was called by God. The ministry was not some means of earning a living. It was his life, and he gave himself to it wholeheartedly. Now, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of this message, An Inspired Portrait of the Gospel Ministry.
If you really believe this gospel, then your life is sacrificed to the service of Christ. There is no such thing as a part-time Christian. Understand that. He's saying if you believe what I'm preaching, if you've really grasped what it is to be united to Christ, to be justified, to have the righteousness of Christ imputed, if you really grasp this gospel of your identification with Christ, then it can't be simply something to which you give a nodding assent. It cannot simply be a matter of philosophy or a verbal expression of theology. It has to be something that rules your heart, and therefore every part of your life governs your relationships, your visions, your actions. And in the portion before us, Paul shows us that what he's been saying is not just the stuff of sermons. In other words, it's not a case of a preacher simply getting liberty and piling on the application to the people. Paul is making it clear in this section that everything he has said to the Christians in chapter 12, 13, 14, in the first part of chapter 15, everything he has said to them about the gospel governing their lives, attitudes and actions, is true in his own life. He is a man who has the gospel as the guiding principle of his whole existence. In other words, unlike many, many preachers, and I have to say this is a sin peculiar, well, not peculiar, but certainly a sin to which preachers are peculiarly open. When you're preaching the gospel, it is natural that you would make the application that the gospel itself demands. When you're preaching what the Bible says to God's people, it is natural, if you've got any honesty in you at all, that you will expound it and you will follow it fully in that application. But it's one thing to preach it. It's another thing to live it. Paul not only preached it, Paul practiced it. And here we see him, the great apostle, presenting his body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Here we see him proving what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God in his life. Here we see him fulfilling his God-given place in the body of Christ and subjecting every personal preference and desire to the one great objective of spreading the gospel and establishing believers in the faith of Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful picture we get of Paul in this passage. It's a picture of a dedicated, devoted, dynamic man of God who took the ministry that God had given him very, very seriously. So much so that when you consider this passage, you find he was willing to endure the rigors of constant travel. We read, "I have fully preached the gospel from Jerusalem unto Illyricum." To a generation that thinks waiting for an extra half hour in an easy chair in an airport is a great imposition. To a generation that thinks it's hard work battling the jet lag of crossing the world in 7 or 8 hours. That doesn't sound much. When you see that lonely, weary traveler foot slogging mile after mile under the burning sun, when you see him with battered body and broken bones, for that's what he suffered for the cause of Christ, yet going on and on and on, you see him giving himself to the rigors of constant travel, facing the challenge of invading the strongholds of heathenism where no other preacher had ever gone. Walking right in to the devil's strongholds. And with it all, enduring the suspicion and the rejection of his fellow countrymen, and the misunderstanding even of his fellow believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, you see here indeed is a man sold out to God. I look at this passage and I see the evidence that Paul was a man consumed by the love of Christ and the love that he had for Christ and for his gospel. In this passage I find the word was Paul's passion. In verse 15 he says, "I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort." And he gives the reason, "because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God." In verse 20, "I have strived to preach the gospel." The word was Paul's passion. It is said of John Wesley that he was a man of one book. Certainly that would have been true of the Apostle Paul. The Word was his constant passion. I am amazed at how far the Christian pulpit has strayed from the biblical norm. I am amazed at the trivialities and the nonsense and the foolish ideas and the wicked worldliness that have invaded the Christian pulpit, where in order to get a crowd, every dumb subject under the sun is fair game for the pulpit, when all the time the word should be the passion of the preachers. Dr. Barrett has been commenting on the official formation of the Free Presbyterian Church in North America. It is my prayer that God will give every Free Presbyterian minister and missionary a passion for the Word of God. The gospel, the whole gospel, and nothing but the gospel. That gospel will deal with many issues. It will set us up to take a stance peculiarly biblical in many controversies. It will lead us into many battles. But let us be faithful with a passion for the Word. Not only was the Word his passion, but the world was his parish. I read, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Where? All the way from Jerusalem to Illyricum. People of different tribes and tongues and nations. People of different cultures and backgrounds. But Paul, Jew though he was, raised in the strictest sect of the Jews. This is a wonderful insight into the power of the gospel. He was raised in the strictest sect of the Jews. The most Jewish of Jews. A man whose background, culture, education and training would have prepared him, even had he become a Christian, to remain the most exclusive Judaizer, as it were. A man who would keep the gospel to the Jews, and if Gentiles wanted to be saved, let them become Jews. There were many Christians who had that view, but not Paul. Paul broke free from the strictures and the sectarianism of his upbringing. By the grace of God, the world was his parish. I said Wesley was the man of one book. Isn't he also the man who said, the world's my parish? Put those two things together. And whether you're dealing with Paul the Apostle, or John Wesley, or George Whitefield, or any other preacher, put those two things together and you will have a dynamic gospel ministry. I want tonight to look at this passage of Scripture, not simply to follow through in detail the statements that Paul gives us about himself and working out my analysis of the passage, but I want us to look at this as an inspired portrait of the gospel ministry. For Paul gives us a number of truths about the ministry that he was pursuing that must be true in every gospel ministry. First, let me make it clear that it was a specific ministry. I don't want to take a lot of time in this, but I do want to emphasize it to some degree. First and foremost, Paul was specifically called and commissioned by the Lord for the ministry that he took up. Paul did not become a preacher in the New Testament church because he had already been a theologian among the Jews. Paul was not accorded a place as a minister simply because he had had the finest education that the Jews could have, sitting at the feet of Gamaliel. Before Paul could become a minister of Jesus Christ, he received the call of Jesus Christ. And he received the commission of Jesus Christ. And that's why he was a minister. Before you can have a dynamic ministry, there must be a called and commissioned minister. Let's understand that. Uncommissioned prophets have always been the being of the people of God. You remember in Jeremiah 23, verse 21, the Lord laments, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. And he went on to make the same complaint in similar language in Jeremiah 27 and 21. And Jeremiah 29 and verse 9. And later in Ezekiel 13 and verse 6. That's the same complaint. Here are preachers out there. Here are prophets out there. And they're speaking in my name. But I never sent them. I think we have had plenty of evidence of that. Nowadays, all a man needs is a seminary degree and he's able to be a preacher. God save us from it. I want them to have their seminary degrees. But first and foremost, there must be the commissioning and the calling and the directing of God Himself. He is the Lord of the harvest. He is the one who sends forth the laborers. The Apostle Paul knew that God had called him. At his conversion, we read in his own words, Acts 26 and 16, that Jesus said to him, I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. That's the standard. We have got to the place, and I realize it's not altogether unique to our day. One of the greatest theologians America ever produced fell into the same pitfall as he appealed for ministers for the Presbyterian Church in his day. I'm going so far as to say even the minister did not need to be the man of preeminent purity or holiness. He wasn't pleading for impure preachers, by the way, but he's simply saying that there may be a whole lot holier people in the church. In other words, if you have the gift, the talent, the ability, you go be the preacher. I don't believe it. We have this notion nowadays that any Christian can be a preacher just so long as he's obeying the Ten Commandments and the moral dictates of the Word of God. Any Christian can be a preacher. That's why we have a bunch of PR men in the pulpit and not prophets. That's why we have men who can analyze what the Hebrew says and what the Greek says, but they have no message from God. That's why people can go down the line of theological exactitude, but there is not the passion or the power to do anything. Paul was a called man. When you pray for this church, pray for called men. Oh, pray for able men. I pray for that. Pray for men who have been thoroughly grounded and educated for the work of the ministry. That's an important part of their ministry. There is no premium on ignorance in the Christian pulpit. But most of all, pray for called men.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcma.org. That's www.fpcma.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.